So I want to start with a poll. This is a pretty easy one. So who's ever met a good Samaritan in their life? Where somebody has either been a good Samaritan to you, you've watched the news and seen a story about a good Samaritan, maybe you've been a good Samaritan, right? Probably most of you, if I said good Samaritan, you probably would know what I'm talking about, right? Let me ask a different question. How many of you have actually met a Samaritan? Not a whole lot. And there's a good reason for that. A Samaritan, there's roughly only about 1,000 of them left in the world. And then most of them live in the area around Israel. So unless you've actually been to the Holy Land area, there's probably a good chance you have not run into a Samaritan. And the reason Samaritans are somewhat important, and this is where it's going to feel a little bit like a Bible study, so hold on with me. In the biblical history, something happened. You have the kingdom of Israel, right? David rules over it. Eventually, it falls. It actually breaks into two kingdoms. One in the north, which we often call Israel, and one in the south, we call Judah. Well, the northern kingdom falls first. It falls to a group called the Assyrians. You best may know them from the story of Jonah. In Jonah, we're told the capital of Nineveh is where Jonah goes. Capital of Assyria. When this happens, something happens in Judaism. Right? So what happens is you have the Assyrians come in and they mix things up. But then eventually in history, the Babylonians come in and they conquer over the southern kingdom. And when the Babylonians come in, they take people to the capital of Babylonia. And that's the exile. Eventually those people come back. The Samaritans stay behind, the people that have been mixed. As a result, there's some differences between Judaism and the Samaritans. They're both people that claim to be followers of Moses, upholding the first five books of the Bible. But they believe that the temple is meant to be in a different place. It's not in Jerusalem, but rather farther north. A slightly different belief system than the Jewish tradition. Very similar, but different. And it's often the differences that define us, right? So there's differences that make us a hiccup between the two. So when Jesus tells this story, the characters in the story are really important. He tells us first that a priest and a Levite come down the road. A priest is pretty easy, right? It's the priest of the temple. A Levite is a worker of the temple. So these are people who work in a temple structure. Two people who walk by as this man is laying beaten, dying. People who are representatives of the church leadership, of the temple leadership. People who are practitioners of the law, the teachings. And then what he tells us is the Samaritan comes, right? And the Samaritan is, he's like us, but he's got it wrong, right? He's one of those other denominations. He comes down the road, and he's the one that heals. He's the one that comes close, the one who sees the man in need, feels compassion, and comes close. Bandages them up, peace friends. And when we hear these kind of stories, people who study these texts for their lives get into these debates. And one of the early debates that comes up is, why do the priest and the Levite pass by this man? And there's generally two theories. The first one, I think, is one we probably all think of, the kind of jerks, right? They see this poor man dying on the road, and they go, keep going, right? There's another theory. In the Jewish temple law, and the teachings of Judaism, the original laws that come with it, there were rules about cleanliness and uncleanliness. And many of them are actually about being clean, as we think of washing hands, but they're also ritual cleanliness. And one of them says that if you come to a dying body and you touch it, you are unclean for 7 days. And you have to wash yourself twice in that 7 days. So now imagine what has happened. A temple worker, a priest, comes down the road. He sees a man die on the side of the road. He sees a dead body. He says, I can't make myself ritually unclean. He passes by on the other side. A Levite, a temple worker, same rules, comes up. He's a man dead on the side of the road. Passes by on the other side. Cannot make myself unclean. Or I cannot go to the temple. Cannot do my job. A third brand. And he's a little bit on the outside. Different. Not the most, what you call, kosher. Not the most, doesn't really fit in, kind of at odds, a stranger. Comes, sees the man, and instead of passing by on the other side, he comes near. And in coming near, the story tells us that he has compassion. And one of the best things about, when you look farther in the text, it's a certain kind of compassion. In different traditions, your compassion comes from different parts, right? We talk about it coming from your heart, right? Some cultures talk about your mind. And Jewish culture, it comes from your stomach. Which sounds weird, but who's ever said, I have a gut feeling? Right? Your gut moves. I often joke that your gut is probably one of the strongest emotional centers. If you're hungry, you get hangry. If your gut doesn't feel good, you want to back off. You're like, huh? When something concerns you, your gut kicks in. When something doesn't feel right, your gut kicks in. We say we have a gut feeling, and it means that something's not right. It's almost like a pull, right? Your gut is pulling you to do it. It's not something you're thinking about. And how fitting that is when we talk about Good Samaritan. People who God has been at work inside of them. You know, I tried to look up interviews for Good Samaritans, thinking, oh, I'll find some on the news. And you get these kind of neat stories where people are driving down the road. It's almost always driving, which is interesting. And they see something happen. So there was a young man who saw a police officer being attacked. Saw that the man had a gun. Right? Pulls over, scares the man away, and he leaves. Right? And that's how the police officer's still alive. If you think about that rationally, right, your brain says, this man has a gun, I should just pass by on the other side. You're talking about people who have got feelings. No, this is not right, I have to stop this. And the idea that your gut feeling can be a way in which God is calling you into action. Because sometimes our gut gets it before our brain does. If I think about it, it takes me time. I need a part of my body to pull me in and send me forth before my brain catches up. You see it in the story, right? He sees this man dead on the side. And something in his gut pulls him over. And when he's pulled over, he looks at this man and realizes that he's in need. And once he changes and has this compassion, you can see him go to work. He bandages his wounds. He throws him on his animal. Takes him to an inn, a place that he can be healed. And this man survives as a result, right? He's a man that's moved by compassion. When we talk about our faith life, faith is more than knowledge.
At the core, our faith is also love. Knowledge helps us understand our faith, but we are at times, you just can't think about faith. You also have to have love to uphold it. You have to have a type of love that is compassionate for others, who pulls you into these situations of where you say to yourself, wow, there's something to be done. A reminder that sometimes in our faith journey, we're called to follow our gut. And we're called to hear about the person who's in need and to respond very quickly. We're called to do likewise, right? To be like the Good Samaritan. To care for others. There's one other reading of this Good Samaritan parable I want to talk about. Often when we talk about parables, there's one other thing that we always have to talk about. And it's God. Parables are often an allusion to the kingdom of heaven. So I want to look at our Samaritan for just a moment and tell me if this sounds like somebody. In our story, our Savior is not a temple leader. In fact, he's criticized for not always upholding all the rules. Someone who is moved by compassion to come close. Moved by compassion for the one who is injured to come and heal. Does this sound like anybody we know? Yeah. Isn't that the description we often use for Christ, right? Christ comes to earth not as a king, not as a priest, not as a Levite, but as a son of what we call a tecton. Most often commonly translated as a carpenter, but it can also be translated as a construction worker. Somebody who works with their hands for a living. Often he is criticized for not upholding all of the faith regulations, right? Complaints that his disciples do not or eat without washing their hands. Complaints that he heals on the Sabbath. But what we see in our faith story is a story of God coming close as Christ. That the story is a story of God who is moved. Not because God... And this is a strange idea. That God is so... It's actually not that strange as I think about it. God is so loving for the world that it is a compassion that brings God to the world. That as the world suffers and people run the risk, not just run the risk, people go through disease and death, that God says, I love enough that I am coming to you to give eternal life. What our story is about a Good Samaritan. But not a Good Samaritan as we think about it. It's a story about a God. A God who comes to earth, and even if he is rejected and dies, will still love us. Even if he is rejected and dies, will heal us. A God who comes to us, that even if we say no, still pursues us. Because that's the God we have. Not the God that we have worked for, but rather a God who looks to us and says, I love you. And out of that love has compassion for us. Compassion that brings us to the cross. And in response to that love, God says, go and do likewise. Be like me in the world. Yesterday, I was spending time with a friend who has slightly pushed away from Christianity. And it was funny because I was looking at her bookshelf, and her bookshelf had the Chronicles of Narnia. And we had joked about it because a couple weeks ago we watched Chronicles of Narnia, and I had said, C.S. Lewis actually created the Chronicles of Narnia as a way to prepare kids to hear the story of Christ. I think Good Samaritans function the same way. When we are Good Samaritans in our world, we give a taste of what the kingdom of God is like. We evangelize it without even actually having to say it. So that when people hear the story of Christ, they start to connect it. That the idea is this: to be a good Samaritan is to be like Christ. Because in the acts of those who are good Samaritans, we see Christ. And that gives me hope. This world is not condemned, but that rather we will have eternal life. Amen.